Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, was so pleased each week to be able to broadcast messages from the Word of God where you can hear the glorious gospel and we can worship together. We continue to hear such heartfelt notes from our viewers. From Iowa, one viewer wrote, "I have to say that getting up on a Sunday morning and watching Pastor Salem's preaching just fills my heart with hope and joy. I'm so thankful that you broadcast the reruns of his messages. It is so amazing to think that his messages are heard around the world." Today, let's hear from my dad what the Bible says about heaven in his message, "What is heaven really like?" We hope you will be encouraged by today's service. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we have a wonderful service today and a great sermon because we're talking about what is heaven really like. You ever thought about that? Well, this isn't dreams or visions or anything like that. We're going to see what the Bible says about heaven. It tells us quite a lot about heaven. And what I read about that, I can't hardly wait to get there. So call your friends and tell them he's going to talk about heaven. And just have them tune us in and see what they think. Maybe they'll thank you for calling. Maybe they'll say, well, don't waste our time next time or whatever. Who knows? Give it a try. And so we're going to start. We're going to look at Psalm 19 and verses 7 to 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And oh, dear Jesus, do we ever thank you for your word, your perfect word, and every word you give us, Lord, as inspired by you yourself in heaven. And you spoke through holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and you send us your word and it'll abide forever. And heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the word of God abideth forever. And that's where we stake all of our hope, and everything is on what you've said. So bless us as we hold high your word today. And Lord, we're going to think about heaven. And I know we have people that are hurting and people that are lonely and weary and discouraged and don't know which way to turn. And that we have young people, Lord, trying to make big decisions in life. And so let's just help them have a wonderful picture of heaven, that wonderful goal that we're all moving to, and we get our work done and then go home. And won't that be something? So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan has a song, "When We All Get to Heaven." And God bless you, Jan.
Prepare for us a place when we all
thank you so much. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? We're all on that path. That's our home. This world isn't our home. Don't make your nest too fancy. Just kind of take that tent and like Abraham and move along to the promised land. And we're all going to be in heaven when we trust Jesus. But you got to have Jesus. Everybody talking about heaven ain't getting there. And that's exactly right. You have to have Jesus. And you just open your heart and say, dear Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll follow you. I'll serve you the best I can. You just pray that prayer and you've got eternal life and you're on the way. And so we just pray that everybody that watches or hears us will be sure they put their faith in Jesus. Well, we have our letters. We have some nice letters. And by the way, we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 21. We're going to be talking about heaven today. And so you can kind of locate that. But our letters, we just thank you so much. Here's one from Adel, Iowa. And they write and say, this is to let you know how much we enjoy your service. We consider you our church. My husband is 97, and I'm nearly 87 and pretty much homebound. We enjoy all the special music and songs. Every Saturday night, we read the scripture that you'll be preaching on Sunday morning. Thank you, and God bless you. Now, isn't that nice? Well, now, I'll tell you what we do. We send out a little booklet, a little paper every month. It's called The New Song, New Song. And in that song, we have a Bible study. And this month, we have a Bible study called On What is Love? That is the month of June. And what is love? And so then also in this little paper, we have the scripture, sermon topics and the scriptures. And so these people are reading those scriptures the night before, so their heart is all prepared for that message. And so if you don't have it, let me give you the address right now. It's a box, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write for the new song. All right, here's one from DeSmith, South Dakota. Love your worship hour. God told me to give, and I am. I would like two booklets on the suicide as we lost a brother to mental illness. But before he got sick, he told us at our older brother's funeral how the older brother helped him come to Christ. Praise God for that. And so that's a secret if you know Jesus. And we have a little booklet. And if you're a Christian and you commit suicide, will you go to heaven? And you sure will. But you need to be sure that you're born again, that you belong to the Lord. And then you don't do it just to get out of a hard time. You have a heritage until God takes you home because there's a work to do. And you stay right at your post. And when it's time for you to go, he'll let you know. Here I am plugging along, almost 95. And they say, you know, he won't take you home to get the work done. And I'll be here forever the way I'm going. But the Lord knows there's a time to be born, a time to die. And so if you're a Christian, you ought to live for the Lord. But if you do commit suicide, maybe lose their mind or something, who knows? I don't know what happens. You still belong to the Lord. If you belong to the Lord, you'll never be lost. Never be lost. Let's see here, Valencia, Trinidad, West Indies. From the West Indies, we get this letter. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I saw your program on Saturday, the 12th of March, 2016. I was very impressed with the program. I'd like to know if someone commits suicide, can this person go to heaven? Your brother in Christ. So here from the West Indies. Well, I don't care where you write from. We heard from Spain. We heard from Germany, Japan. I don't know how many, Madagascar. And if you want to get the new song and you want this literature, we'll send it to you. And we're glad to do that. So just happy to hear from this brother. Here is Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks so much for your service. I know the Lord led me to find you on TV. You have taught me so much about the Bible these past 3 years. God bless you. Well, You know, we preach the Bible. That's all there is to preach. Lord knows we hear the politicians and said, we got enough of them to last us for a long time. But you'll never get tired of the Bible, the wonderful Bible. And so we preach that because it's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. It's the living. It's up to date. And I started preaching 72 years ago. It was a whole different situation in our society at that time. But the Bible was relevant. Now here we are 72 years later, and the Bible is relevant, speaking to things that we didn't even know about, didn't have computers and things like that. The Bible is relevant. If I want to read about what happened yesterday, I read the newspaper. If I want to read about what's going to happen tomorrow, I read the Bible. And that's what we preach, is the wonderful Word of God. And that's why people are blessed and helped. Here's St. Paul, Minnesota. I lost my husband to liver cancer on November 11th, 2015. We have a 16-year-old son. Some days are good, but some days are not good. I just started watching your TV show. Please pray for me and my son. I don't know what God has in store for me. Pray for my health and my son. I want to stay in this world with him. I need help because I don't know why God took him from us. I don't understand. Help me understand it. Well, dear brother, dear sister, this is a lady writing here. Dear sister, I want to tell you something. God bless you. There are things in this world we don't understand. We'll never understand. I don't try to explain them. And it's something I don't know. But let me tell you something I do know. I know there is a God. And I know he loves us. And I know he gave his son to die a cruel cross on a cross because he loved us. And I know that if we receive him, he'll save us from our sins and put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know if we receive him, he told us he would never leave us or forsake us. I know that in Romans 8:28 it says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. There's some things I don't know, but there's a lot more things I do know. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to throw away the things I know for something I don't know. So no, I don't understand. I can't tell you. But just think of the things that you can know. And God will see you through. And when you get to glory and when you get to heaven, then you'll say, oh, now I understand. Now I see why it was. Because God had a plan and a purpose, and he's running it all. So leave it to him. Well, let's see. Here's Groveland, Florida. I'd like to request the new song Bible study. Now, that's the kind we like to get that. Now, I'm going to give you the address pretty soon. Get that pencil ready, because you'll never remember the address. And get that pencil ready. I'd like to request the new song Bible study in any literature you have to help me to know Christ more, to help me to know what the Word says, and to help me to give up my old ways and come to give my all to Christ. Thank you all, and may God bless you all, keep you safe and well. Now, that's what we're to do. We're to come to Jesus and ask him to save us from our sins. And then we give all to Christ, and we make him the Lord of our life. And we say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and wash away my sins. I was 10 years old when I prayed that prayer, and he took away my sins. That's 85 years ago. God bless the Lord. And then we tell him we love him. And if we love him, we want to serve him. And we give up the old ways because we're a new creation in Christ. And we're now a child of God, and we live the Christian life. That's just exactly what this dear lady's doing. And so if you want the new song, get your pencil ready. I'm going to read two more letters, and then I'll give you the address. Can't wait to give you the address. Here's Lake Norden, South Dakota, right here in South Dakota. We would like your Bible study. We have an adult Bible study in our church. We thought this might help. And so this is what they do. They take this new song, and some of them use it for Sunday school lessons. And some of them use it for Bible studies. And there's scriptures to study to go with it. So that's what she's talking about. And the theme for this month of June is what is true love? What is true love? And then one more letter, Palestine, Arizona.
49 years ago, I gave up my farming career after receiving a call from God to preach. Pray for me as I prepare a message on the sleeping giant, which is the New Testament church. I thought that's beautiful. Here's a man, he's out farming I came from the farm too. I left the farm because we lost it. But here's a man, he's making money. And God says, he taps him on the shoulder and he says, you're in the wrong profession. I want you to go to work for me. And he sold it, gave it up, and went to serve the Lord. I just love a story like that. God bless this brother. This is a man writing here. God bless you. Well, we need to have your help, and we just look to every one of you to help us out, because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And so if you can give us a gift, and God says, just ask him. Just say, Lord, should I help these people? Is this something that ought to be carried on? Do you want this to continue? Then you ask him. And if he says yes, says how much? And then he'll tell you how much. And they say, oh, are you sure? Yeah, that's what you got to do. I don't know what he'll say. But you'll know in your heart what you ought to do. And then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift, you can do it on the internet. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on there, there's a PayPal. It's a donate thing. You can donate anywhere in the world. We got a gift from Norway not long ago. Came in American money so we can pay our bills. And so we need your help. If you want to have the little new song, you'd be sure to mark that down. And remember this when you give. You say, well, I don't know if I send this money. Maybe they'll get speed boats or maybe they'll get a jet or something. Well, let me tell you what we're connected with. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books, and they check us from top to bottom. They not only check on how much we take in, but they check to see where we spend it. And we are just as clear as a bell, because what we do, we pay our bills, and then we buy a station. We take a station or whatever we're going to do. We get the word of God to the whole world. So we need your help, we need your prayers, and we need you to tell your friends. So now Jan's going to play, and you just do what God lays on your heart. And if you do that, we'll have what God wants us to have. And if he wants us to continue, it'll be there. So Heavenly Father, thank you for those who support us. Thank you for so many, Lord. And I just pray that you'll bless everyone as they give as you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Revelation chapter 21. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to read the first seven verses. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for Madagascar. Every week we pray for another country, and we pray for those that are dear people, Christians in those countries that are undergoing persecution all over the world, and so it'll be Madagascar. But first of all, let's look at our scripture. And this is a vision that St. John has about heaven, and we're going to preach about heaven. What's heaven really like? He writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" Heavenly Father, thank you for this glimpse into heaven. Oh, dear God, so many of our loved ones are there. They've experienced this. They know what it's all about. And we're waiting our turn. And we don't go until you take us home, because you have a work for us to do. And if some of us are at advanced age, that's because you want us to serve you and witness and pray and do whatever we can to tell others about Jesus. We are here for a purpose and a reason. And then when our work is done, you'll take us home, and won't we rejoice? And so we just thank you that we have the hope of heaven. Oh, God, we just can't wait to see it. And now today we pray for those who are dear brothers and sisters in Madagascar. And oh, dear Heavenly Father, help them. Just give them, we know you'll give them extra strength. Help them to lean on you. And some of them are paying for their faith with their own blood, with their own head. And oh, for them, oh, we give you thanks and praise that they stood true. And help us to be the same cut of cloth, the same family, the same ones. This is our family, and help us to be willing to do the die for you if needs be. Oh, God, give us grace and give them grace. And bless those left behind and comfort their hearts. I know you will, Lord. You're the God of all comfort, and strengthen them and see them through. And someday when we get to heaven, we'll talk to them. We'll visit with them. And won't that be something? So now we thank you for this time together today. Thank you. We're going to think about heaven. And I just pray for all who are joining us, worshiping with us. Some don't know you, Lord. And I pray during this service, they'll make that prayer, take you into their heart. Some are hurting, some are suffering, some are lonely. And I pray to Lord, minister to them and give them the hope of heaven. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now Hank's going to sing for us. He's got a song, "Wish You Were Here." God bless you, Brother Hank.
I can just see them walking on the shores of heaven, praising the Lord and watching the tide roll in. Friends that have gone on, oh, how I miss you so. Somehow I know, if you could, that you'd let me know that you're doing fine and it doesn't hurt anymore. Things couldn't be better, and heaven is worth waiting for. That you miss me too, and till then you'll be praying for me. And I know if you could talk to me now, that here's what you'd say to me. Wish you were here, it's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here, nothing but clear sunny days. It never rains, no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time. Wish you were here. I can just see them walking on the shores together. They're talking with Jesus, safe and secure in His love. Friends and loved ones walking in heavenly peace. And I know if they could talk to me now, that here's what they'd say to me. Oh, I wish you were here. It's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here. Nothing but clear sunny days. It never rains. No one complains. And we haven't seen a tear. We're having a great time. Wish you were here. Well, it never rains, no one complains, and we haven't seen a tear. Oh, we're having a great time, and we wish you were here.
Well, thank you, Hank. Wish you're here. And you know, while he was singing, I was kind of going through my mind, excuse me, and I was saying, wish I was there, and it's going to be wonderful. And we've been talking about heaven. Last week we had a message on will we know our loved ones in heaven, and now today we're going to be thinking about what is heaven really like? What does God tell us about heaven? And the first thing I want to talk about is, what are the dimensions of heaven? You know that God tells us the dimensions of heaven? And St. John talks about this in the 21st chapter and the first and second verse. And he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The atmospheric heavens and the present earth are going to be obliterated by fire. St. Peter tells us, he talks us about it, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's what Peter tells us, 2 Peter chapter 3. God is going to replace the present heavens and earth. And he's going to make a place, a new heavens in its place, a new heaven and a new earth. And God allows John to see this. And it's like when the New Jerusalem, and it comes down from heaven. And he says in the second verse, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband, or beautifully dressed for her husband. That'll be some sight. The New Jerusalem is compared as a bride coming down the aisle at her wedding. And that's always a sight to behold. I've had a lot of weddings. And boy, some of these brides, when they come down that aisle, they just take away your breath. Now, the night before, they'll have a rehearsal. And they look like maybe a truck ran over them at rehearsal. But boy, when they come down that aisle, they just look beautiful. And I want to tell you a little secret. Everybody looks at the bride. Nobody looks at anybody else. There's the pastor, as big as you please. They're not looking at me. There's the groom. He's in a tuxedo, and he's suffering in that thing. Everybody's got to wear it. Nobody's looking at him. There's the husband. There's the father of the bride. There's some people looking at him. He owes them some money. But they're all looking at the bride, nobody else. And so everybody and his dog, it doesn't matter, it's the bride. And that's the picture that John wants us to get in the New Jerusalem. He says, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. A beautiful sight beyond description. And so this is a picture of heaven, this new heaven. It's going to be a huge city. It's going to be visible. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be brilliant. And it's somewhere in the atmosphere of the earth. Some commentators feel that the New Jerusalem may even orbit the earth like the second moon or something like that. We don't know. But it's real. It is literal. And it is coming. The Apostle John gives the dimensions of this beautiful city coming out of heaven. Some wonder if this is all symbolical because it's in the book of Revelation, but this is a literal city, and he gives us the measurements. And this is what he says in Revelation 21, verse 16. And the city lieth four square, and the length of it is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And so if you take a furlong to be 600 feet, well, then you can say that this thing will be 1,500 miles square. The height and the width and the length will be the same. And it's a square 1,500 miles. That means that it would be about 3/4 the size of the United States of America. So there's plenty of room. And because, remember, too, that the multitudes aren't going to be there. Just those who have accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Matthew 7:14, he says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto them, unto life, and few there be that find it. That is, heaven is a special place for a special people. Those who have had their sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's no need to worry because when this the wonderful heaven is going to be a wonderful home where Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is going to be there and watch over. Oh, yes, heaven is literal. It's not a dream. It's not a pie in the sky. It is literal as it can be. So then John goes on to tell us about the materials that make up this literal city. Revelation 21, verses 10 and 11, he says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What a beautiful sight. It's going to be a beautiful place. And he says the foundation of the city is also fascinating because foundations are usually underground. But the new city, the New Jerusalem, it'll not be underground. They'll see those foundations and it'll have 12 stones. and each of these will carry the name of one of the apostles. And the stone was garnished with precious stones, and each foundation stone was a different kind of precious stone or jewels. The foundations of this new city is made up of beautiful jewels, and they will glow with beauty as the glory of God shines through. And then he talks about the gates of the holy city. There are 12 of them, and each one is a huge, giant pearl. And you know what? St. Peter is not standing on a single one. As a matter of fact, there's no guards, because when we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ, that gate is open and we'll enter that beautiful city with the gates of pearl. And you know something else about these gates of pearl? We have they'll just be so beautiful. And those gates of pearl, you know what a pearl is made of? It means a little bit of sand gets inside of that oyster and it covers with a knocker. And then that hardens and it becomes a beautiful pearl. But that oyster has to have harm, hurt, and it hurts it and it agonizes it. And yet out of that comes that pearl. And that pearly gate stands for the blood of Jesus Christ, who suffered for us and as no man ever suffered, gave himself for us. That beautiful, beautiful city with the pearly gates, 12 pearly gates. But I want to spend most of the time talking about the blessings of heaven. I should have entitled my sermon, some of the blessings, and I should have said, because I can't mention all of them. These wonderful blessings that God has. So I want to give you 11 blessings of heaven. So stay awake. Get your seatbelt. Let's go and look at this city. 7 blessings. First of all, there's no more holiness. So many people are alone and forgotten in this world. Everybody is so busy doing their own thing. Loneliness can be a terrible thing. But when we get to heaven, nothing will be left out. No one will be left out. Everyone will be included. Everybody will be a part of that family. And loneliness will be forgotten and no hurt anymore. No more loneliness. Second, no more sea. John declares that in the first verse, in John's day, the sea was a great unknown. It was a great danger. And there was many a man that went out to sea that never came back. And they talked about sea monsters and all of the rest of it. And so the sea kind of stood for shipwreck and loss of life and sorrow and grieving and the end of the seeing people. And heaven won't have any sea because there'll be no loss, no grieving, no sorrow, nothing of that sort. And then he goes on, no more death. Death raised its ugly head in the Garden of Eden. It's been with us ever since. It scared the wits out of a lot of people all over the world. But when we walk the golden streets of heaven, you won't meet death because it's forever banished. It can't be there and it'll never be there. And it all began, you know, with the Garden of Eden. But it will all be conquered. And St. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death will be abolished in heaven. In heaven, they will have no employment agency, and there will be no morticians. We'll put all the morticians out of business, all the mortuaries and hearses and tombstones and funeral homes and funeral services and tearful goodbyes. That's all forever gone when we're in that wonderful city of God, that new Jerusalem, that heaven. Can't wait to get there. And then he says, no more sorrow. Do you have any sorrow? Well, if you don't have any sorrow, my friend, let me tell you something. Tune in the evening TV news and you'll get sorrow. Sorrow till your heart will break. The New Testament says no more than 30 passages where they use the words sorrow or sorrowful. And it always carries the thought of grief and pain and distress and travail. And in Revelation 21:4, the word sorrow is translated wailing, as in Revelation 15 18:15, or mourning. Sorrows follow us all through life, but when we get to heaven, there's a great big sign, keep out, and there'll be no more sorrow, no more crying. No more crying, who says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, Revelation 21, verse 4. Don't you hate to see people cry? Don't you hate to see little children cry? Breaks your heart. The Bible talks about those who weep. He talks about weeping saints in John 16, verse 20. Talks about weeping soul winners, Matthew 22, verse 11. Talks about weeping sorrowers, Luke 7, verse 12. Weeping servants, Acts 20, verse 19. Weeping Savior, John 11, 35. Jeremiah, one of the great prophets, spoke of weeping. He says in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1, this is what he says. Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. He was wanted to weep oceans of water, rivers of water for the suffering people of Israel. But oh, my friend, when we get to heaven, the tears are going to stop. He's going to wipe away the tears and they'll be there no more. They'll be forever gone. And it says, for instance, in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's one translation that says like this, at night we may cry, but when morning comes, we will celebrate. We are in heaven, and John tells us he wipes away all of our tears. And they say, well, why were they crying in the first place when they got to heaven? And I don't know, except maybe, just maybe, we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, and he will show us our life and what we really could have done for him if we'd have given it all, giving him everything. I don't know. All I know is there's going to be tears, and God's going to wipe them away. You can't come in here with those tears. And so this is the thing to look forward to. Oh, God has covered every part of it, and all the tears will be gone. And then he goes on. He says there'll be no more pain. And Romans chapter 8, verse 22, God tells us, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. And to one degree or another, there's the feeling of pain because there's sin in the world. And by that sin came suffering and sorrow and pain and separation. And it breaks our heart to see little children suffering. And I've been to the Mayo Clinic, and I've seen those little children suffering from maybe cancer or something, and they're in a wheelchair, poor little things, and makes your heart ache, because they're going through the pain. And there's emotional pain that comes through. Maybe it's a divorce, maybe a wayward child, maybe a friend who deserts you, maybe it's the abuse of little children, and it's all the result of sin. But there'll be no sin in heaven, not one speck. And consequently, there'll be no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. And then the seventh is, there's no more temple. Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now in Revelation 11, earlier in the book of Revelation, Revelation 11, verse 19, John sees the temple of God in heaven. But now the scene is changed. And when you come to the 11th chapter, now you come to the 21st chapter, he says there is no temple. Because this new Jerusalem, this new city of God comes, and the temple John first saw was there until the new order came. And now new Jerusalem doesn't have a temple because the whole place is a temple. And if you don't enjoy church now, heaven's going to be one great church service. You say, well, they have a better preacher. Yeah, they'll have a better preacher. But you're still going to be in church. And if you're not happy in church, you better get happy. because when you get there, the whole church, all the New Jerusalem is a temple. And that beautiful temple, we'll have that live and move and have our being. It says there's no more sun or moon, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, nor to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The sun and the moon will be discarded as worthless garments, and there's no need for their light anymore. And because Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus, the beautiful light of Jesus, will shine in that new city, and there'll be no need for the moon or the sun. You know, it's interesting that centuries before, the godly prophet Isaiah talked about this very thing. And he didn't even know, Revelation hadn't even been written. Jesus hadn't even been to the cross yet. Way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah says this in Isaiah 60, verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Isn't that amazing? 900 years before Christ is born, Isaiah is talking about this beautiful place where there'll no need, no moon, no sun, nor anything because of the glory of the Lord. Oh, it's beautiful. That Bible is so beautiful. Read it, love it, study it. And then the ninth thing he says, no more night. I like this because as a child I was afraid of the dark. And you want to know a little secret? I still don't like the dark. And I leave a light on all night, a little light. It's, you know, not too many volts, not too much voltage, so it doesn't cost too much. But I just would like to have that light in there. I don't like the darkness. Well, there's good news for those who do not like the dark. Because in Revelation 22 and verse 5, it says this, and there shall be no night there, and there shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All sorts of sins and sinful actions are done in the night. And now they, when I was a kid, they used to be at night. But Lord, nowadays, they do it all day long. They don't go into the night anymore. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, but they're so wicked now they don't care if the light shines on them. God have mercy on their soul. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus lest you perish. And the tenth thing, no more abominations. Revelation 21, verse 27. There shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. John mentioned some of the sins that would be kept out of heaven. Those who work abominations, those who make lies. John lists others that'll be excluded. Immoral people, murderers, idolaters, and the like. There's going to be some sifting done, and nobody's going to be slipping into heaven, and there won't be any loopholes. And you can get your fancy lawyers, but it won't do you a bit of good. You got to have your soul washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. And that won't happen unless you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. I hope to God every one of you do, or you won't make it. You'll be in that place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. God have mercy. But you can turn, but only you can turn. Nobody can turn for you. And then finally, no more hunger, thirst, or heat. Verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the light shine on them, nor any heat. That's the burden of the day, the basic things of life that make us struggle, the day, the humdrum things, the places that we have to work. And oh, my friends, that'll all be set aside, and we'll be there to worship God forever and ever. Matthew Henry talks about, was a great 18th century commentator, and he talked about going to heaven. And then he got to thinking, oh, excuse me, I have friends, and I don't want them to worry about me. So he wrote them a letter, and this is what he wrote. Would you like to know where I am? I am at home in my Father's house, in the mansions prepared for me here. I am where I want to be. no longer on the stormy sea, but in the God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done, and I'm reaping. My joy is the joy of harvest. Would you like to know how it is with me? I am made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in glory. Would you like to know what I'm doing? I see God, not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I'm engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I'm singing hallelujahs to Him who sits upon the throne. I am constantly praising Him. Would you know what blessed company I keep? It's better than the best on earth. Here the holy angels and the spirits of the just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances whom I worked and prayed and who have come here before me. Lastly, would you like to know how long this will continue? It is a dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me. Matthew Henry died in 1714. He's been in heaven 302 years, and he haven't even started yet. That wonderful, wonderful city of God. Yes, I'm going to heaven when I die. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And do you know how come I know? Because God tells me in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus said that. The most loving person in the world said that. And why did he say it? John 3:36, he doesn't want you to go there. And you don't have to go there unless you're too stubborn and you just won't turn to Jesus. So now the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and he's saying you ought to open your heart to Jesus. You ought to turn from your wicked ways, and you ought to walk with Jesus, and you ought to go to heaven, and you ought to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you say to the Holy Spirit, yes, I want that. What do I do? And you just pray in your own words and say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Just say it now, right now, while I'm giving it to you. I've sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. I ask you, Lord, to make me like you, and I make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, dear Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that, you're a child of God. You say, I don't feel any different. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Doesn't matter. It's a contract. Feelings don't have a thing to do with it. Don't go by feelings. You'll never get straightened out. It's a contract, an agreement, and you signed it. You've swore to it, and you belong to the Lord. And if you did that, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And help us if you can, because we have to pay our way like anybody else. But write to us if you accepted the Lord. We'll send you some literature. We'll pray for you. We'll rejoice with you. And God bless you. We'll be in heaven with you. And won't that be something? So let's just pray. Dear Jesus, I know that all over the world there are people that are praying that prayer. And you've received every one of them, and you wash them white as snow. And though their sins are scarlet, they're white as snow. And now they belong to you. And now I'm praying, Lord, for those who are on beds of sickness and are shut in and are weary and are lonely and are sad and are hurting, and help them to know this heaven is their home, and you come and get them when you're ready. You won't forget them, and you'll take them over Jordan. They won't cross over alone. You'll take them by the hand and lead them. And oh God, bless those people that drifted away and need to come back, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you for this time together. I pray that you'll open your heart to Jesus, because I'm going to tell you, the devil will tell you not to. The devil will tell you to wait. He'll tell you, just wait a little bit. Do it next time. But you come to Jesus now. Then you write to us. And then pray for us. And let's pray for each other. And then let's work together in the kingdom of God's work. You do your share where you're at, and I'll do the best I can where I'm at. God knows I need a lot of improvement, but I'll give him what I got. That's all he wants. He doesn't want you to give something you don't have. He wants to give you what you got, and be faithful and loyal and stand to the Lord and shine in your corner and live for him. Those of you that just accept Jesus, you tell people, let them know that you're a child of God, a follower of the Lamb, and maybe they'll cut your head off. I don't know, but you tell them just the same, and you'll join a great crowd and a wonderful crowd. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. We pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. And next week we'll see you. God loves you, and so do we.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.